Welcome back, guys, to the Butterfly Season podcast, where we celebrate the beauty and the transformation. I am your host, Aisha Marshall, and we are going to do some more heart work today. And if this is the first episode that you're tuning into, I want to stop right here so that you can go back two episodes prior to this and listen to that episode. These episodes are compounding on each other. So if we're just meeting here, you might be a little bit confused, and I don't want you to be confused. So go back to two episodes ago and roll it on through to this episode, and I'll meet you back here.
Welcome to the Butterfly Season podcast, where we find the beauty in the cocoon season. You know, the season we have to go through before we live life fully in our butterfly season. My name is Aisha Marshall, and I know a thing or two about cocoon seasons. Here's the thing. On paper, I had everything I ever wanted. Great life, thriving business, Forbes 30 under 30, on the cover of magazines. And at the peak of it all, something didn't feel right. So I chose to literally burn it all to the ground. Cue my cocoon season. I thought burning it to the ground would solve all of my problems. Turns out that was just the beginning. Cocoon season is where our wings are formed, in the chaos, challenging it, overcoming it, reimagining what life may look like. And one of the biggest lessons was, the growing doesn't stop. Through the stories of others, experts in different modalities, get ready for the metamorphosis, because once you're strong enough to burst out of the cocoon, imagine how beautiful your wings will be.
So for those of you who are still hanging on this episode, I'm just going to unpack where we've been just to kind of give you a lay of the land of where we've been and where we're at now and what we will be working on. So where have we been? We did some issue spotting. We understand the importance of seeing patterns and how those things together are a key to unlocking the first door to getting closer to your transformation. Now, the next door can be a little bit harder. It can be a little bit painful because you have to sit with yourself for a second and tap into the emotions of how you felt in those situations. And now, if you remember when I was saying, have you felt like this or this or this? If you had financial issues, same relationships and that are falling out, or breakups even, like those are typically really hard times that your body's going through a purging of something. So know that as we enter into this conversation, it's gonna be a little rocky. You're going to have to sit with yourself to understand what feelings you were feeling at that time, but it's not all for nothing. We have to find the feelings, because the feelings point us to our unmet need. So if we can understand what we're feeling, we can know what did we need at that time that we did not get. But before we get into the emotions that you felt during those patterned or those like contentious types of events, I want to talk about emotions a little bit. Now, typically we'll be like, how did that make you feel? And like my go-to ones are like annoyed, frustrated, irritated, bothered, unwell, like whatever term you want to use. But there's a level of emotional maturity that is required here. There is a breadth of emotions. There's so many emotions that we either don't know or don't use, and we're kind of lazily labeling how we feel. While I might be irritated, it might actually be something else. So let's talk about irritation, for example. I will lazily label things and be like, I'm irritated by something, right? And all emotions, a lot of emotions, not all, a lot of emotions have like a parent emotion and then a bigger parent emotion. So think of it as in three different layers. You have your parent emotion, and some parent emotions are like anger, sadness, love, joy, surprise, okay? That's what we're working with, parent emotions. Now, underneath that are sub emotions. And then within those emotions are subsequent emotions. So as you're going through this transformation journal, there is an emotion mapping wheel on there for you to kind of identify how those things made you feel. But this identification is important because based on this wheel of emotions, we can point that back to the parent emotions, and the parent emotions point us to the unmet need. So if we're just talking about irritability for a second, irritable, underneath irritable is aggravated and annoyed, and above irritable, the parent emotion above irritable is anger. And so if I understand, well, I'm actually angry, then I can be like, well, what's making me angry? What's making me irritable? What do I feel like I'm not getting that's frustrating me, because I'm not getting the thing that I feel like I need in that moment? And so If you're just listening, this might be a little bit confusing, and I want to encourage you to open up the book and take a look at it. Remember that you guys can use the code BSZN, B-S-Z-N, for 10% off your transformation journal. So don't let the complexity of identifying what the emotional landscape is around these issues or around these patterns steer you away from actually identifying the emotion. This is an important step to then finding your unmet need. An interesting point about emotions, I had one of my best friends, Lizzie, you'll see her if you have the book, in the beginning of the book, in the acknowledgments. It's within our dialogue that we were able to identify a lot of these issues within ourselves that I'm able to put in this book to help you. And one of them has been emotions. And with emotions, the interesting thing is that typically wherever we had the initial hurt, which we talked about in previous episodes, like the villain origin story, that knowledge at that point in time is usually the emotional landscape to which you have and identify with that thing. So let's think about, I gave this example in a previous episode about being in high school and not making the cheer team. And my high school brain may not have known that at the core of it, I was, you know, mortified at the thought that I couldn't be on the team and that it would be associated with not having enough money. And mortified, the parent feeling of that is horror. I would never be like, I'm horrified, but mortified felt like appropriate, right? Horror feels like someone's running behind you with a knife. And that wasn't necessarily the case. But the parent fear to that is fear. And you might use, I'm trying to tap into the emotion at that point in time. And I guess I was fearful that someone would find out, but I was not intelligent enough at that moment in time to use the more accurate term, which was mortified. And so I want you to have grace with yourself when we're identifying these feelings, because if they were, you know, let's just say like younger childhood, not like a high school situation or a high school wound, but even younger than that, you might only be using early terminology that a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year old would use. Mad, happy, sad. Like you think of joy as a parent feeling, and you know, I might never say I'm so joyful, but I'm incredibly proud of myself and how far I've come. But that's with the knowledge, and my, you know, 33-year-old self can know that proud is connected to joy and happiness. So I want you to have grace as you identify these emotions, and don't just identify them without looking at the wheel, because the wheel is an important place to help point you to the next thing, which is the unmet need. I feel like in this work, a lot of people might say like, well, what's the importance of this? What's the importance of like bringing back old shit and like having to feel those feelings? Because to this point, you knowingly or unknowingly have been avoiding these feelings the entire time. Like that's exactly what you're doing, is avoiding feeling them, which is why you do things to keep you from feeling that thing. So if we think about the previous episode that I keep referencing before is, you know, for so long, I've been trying to create the perception that I'm not poor, even though I grew up very, very, very poor, like powdered milk poor. And so for so long, I will do anything to keep me from feeling the fear that I might be exposed for who I was when I was a child. And so I will do anything, put it on a credit card, get me the nicest car, get me the thing, live outside of my means so that I'm not having to address the true fear, which is a fear of safety, a fear that I can pay the bills or whatever it is. I'm outsourcing my safety to something that feels like a perception or perceived safety of what you guys think. That's the importance of identifying the pattern, noticing the emotion, and then finding the parent feeling of the unmet need. Because at its core, even though I was mortified that I would have to tell people that I couldn't pay to be on the cheer team, really I'm seeking safety and I'm fearful that I don't have the safety. But where do I get safety from? Making a budget. Staying on top of the budget, following the budget, allocating money to do the things that I want to do. That is what creates the safety, but anything outside of that doesn't. And so if we don't know the pattern, we can't even address the issue, because the next thing is the emotion. If we don't know the emotion, then we don't know what need is unmet. We don't know what the parent feeling points us to the unmet need. And if we don't know the true, like granular specific emotions that came with this event, you won't be able to understand your unmet need. And if we don't understand the unmet need, you won't be able to forecast before you get in that situation. So if I'm in a situation where I feel like all these people are billionaires and they're making so much money and I don't belong, I can feel that coming up and be like, no, I am who I am. I'm working on what I'm working on, and eventually I'm not there yet, but I will get there by the continuous application of the tools that I've used that come in this journal, the heart work exercises, the continuous application of those things is how I can free myself from myself. But if we don't take the time to fully understand how we got here, you can never actually get yourself out because you can't proactively change anything. You're always going to be retroactively changing something, which is what a pattern is. You notice it, oh, let me change it. And then you change it for a little bit. It's like working out. Like you gain all this weight. I'm really speaking to myself now. You gain all this weight and then you're like, you know what? I'm going to eat right. I'm going to go to the gym, and you drop it and you're like, I've arrived. Now let me go eat that and do all the things. And then I'm like, how did I get here again? My jeans don't fit because there's no arrival. Like, at the core of it, I need to know, well, what's the emotional thing? Am I emotional eating? Am I eating when I'm stressed? What's stressing me out? Why do I feel stressed, right? What are the emotions correlated with that? Where did this stem from? Am I imploring like a coping mechanism that's actually not serving me anymore? And if I am, how can I change that? What I've noticed in the people that have gone through the transformational journal is that a lot of us want like a sense of belonging, and we outsource this belonging in different areas that actually create what we don't want. And so it's almost like you're driving, like, I don't want to crash, I don't want to crash, and then you crash. But if you switch your mindset and you're like, and I even hate that term because it's not just about mindset, it's about understanding what's got us here, understanding how that's not going to work, and understanding what we want and what's required to get what we want. And so maybe a better term is a perspective shift. If I don't want to crash my car, I should focus on safe driving. I should focus on looking further in front of me. I should not focus on just the brakes in the immediate. I should focus on what are the rules of the road? What's the speed? These are all things I'm focusing on what I want and not what I don't want. When you focus so much on what you don't want, you actually end up creating what you don't want. And a lot of us will be like, you know, I know what I want. I've manifested it. I've written it down in this journal. I meditated on it. And I'm not saying those are bad. I think those are great. But the missing piece is the actual action of what you do want. What are the tiny things that you have to do to create what you want? And what ends up happening and where people get stuck and what I've noticed, and this is what the journal will solve for you, is that we'll, you know, do a manifestation ritual, be out in front of the moon and do all of the things and meditate on it and like embody the person that you want to be and feel it and believe it. Like we'll do all of that stuff truly with the best intentions and with our whole heart. Like I have done those things. I still do those things. But the reason why I'm saying that that's not enough is because what ends up happening, you call in what you want, and everyone thinks that someone's going to knock on your door with like $1 million in a suitcase and say, this is for you because you manifested it, so you're going to get it. Like, that's not what happens. Problems happen next. Problems literally happen next. One, on a spiritual warfare component, which we can get into, but that's not what I'm talking about today. Problems happen because it's the tools that you build in solving those problems that are going to be required consistently and over time to get you what you want. So problems are actually really beautiful. That's why, you know, butterfly season is the beauty is in the transformation, because the transformation is the problem, and the undoing and the unlearning and relearning is where you actually build the skill to become a butterfly and live a butterfly season. So when you've manifested something and a problem arises that is in direct conflict with what you've manifested, that is your opportunity to figure out, okay, I'm calling in a lot of money and I'm realizing that a credit card bill is due that's really expensive. Don't know how I'm going to pay it. I know that the problem in here is money management, because the continuous management of money energetically, which we can get into, separate rabbit hole, not talking about that now. Money management and the continual practice of money management is going to be get you more money because you're managing it appropriately and it's not just vanishing in thin air. And so if you can correlate your manifestation with the problem and the tool that problem is refining in you, you can kind of see your issues a little bit differently and know, okay, this is all good. I'm just flexing, you know, my money management muscle. No problem. But you know that it's not an arrival. It's the continuous practice of the thing that will get you what you want. And so know that you'll manifest, you'll call in, you'll set an intention, whatever you want to call it. The next thing is a problem. And then after the problem is you trying to work through what's the skill, what's the muscle that I have to build to get me the thing. And then another problem will arise because God, universe, wants to make sure that you're about your business and you're going to do what you say you're going to do so that you can apply it again. And it's in that continual application of choosing something new that actually serves you and applying that. That's when like the fruits of your labor come. That's when you're able to live a butterfly season. That's where you get the things that you want to get, but it's in the constant practice. And we can never even get to any of those things if we don't understand our villain origin story. How did we get here? What's the fear? What's the unmet need? What's the driver? What's the coping mechanism? Okay, now I have all of these tools. Now I know what I need to change. Now I know when I start to feel anxious or when I start to feel less than, it's not because I am less than. So I don't take action that make me like this perceived safety of feeling like I belong by buying the bag, buying the car, spending more money than you have. That's where you create the change. But we're going to have to go through some like rocky moments. You're going to have to see yourself for yourself in order to change. That's how you free yourself from yourself. We've been all over the place. We've gone through emotions. We've gone through issue spotting, and we're in emotions. And I want you guys to take a look at an emotion wheel. It's in the journal. You could also simply just Google emotion wheel, but you want to do the heart work too. Identifying your emotions is not enough. And the heart work is inside this journal. Use the code BSZN, BSZN, when you check out for 10% off your first order, and allow this to be your guide to help you free yourself from yourself, because you deserve it. And the only person that's going to do it for you is you.
Can I just say thank you so much for being here? It means the world to me that we're growing together. So if there's someone that you thought of while listening, please share it with them too. And when you share it, let them know that they're not on this journey alone. But also, if you just love this episode, take a screenshot, share it on Instagram, and tag me at Aisha so I can thank you for hanging with me on this journey. Oh, and one more thing. Don't forget to rate and write a review with your favorite takeaway so this podcast can be shared with more people. And before I go, I want to thank you again for being here.